Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, I don't know what this world is coming to.
Themselves in trouble, turning the ball over. Hands by James, the advance pass and the finish.
James against Curry. Backs it in. 8-0. Irving fakes, drives. James on the throwdown. This is reminiscent of the game 3 start. Cavaliers on the attack from the opening tip. James Thompson running and finishing.
What an unbelievable effort play by Tristan Thompson. Great pass by James, but that was made by the effort of Tristan Thompson running down the middle of the floor.
On the attack, goes to the goal, left-handed, lays it in.
Coach, we're seeing a steady diet of pick and rolls, whether it's Curry, and now he's off the floor. They're using the five man to set the screen, and they are attacking.
James to Thompson. Oh, what a pass from LeBron James. 31-9.
Not only are they getting it done offensively, but 9 points for the Warriors. They're getting
alley-oop to Thompson. Tristan Thompson with a double-double here in the first half. James puts up the three and nails it. LeBron James from downtown. James, the crossover, the layup off the glass. His 11th of the game finds James.
All right, well, that's enough of that. I have to start off by apologizing to LeBron James. LeBron James basically showing why he's still the greatest player in the world. No doubts, hands down. I even have to admit the way Steph Curry been playing the last couple of seasons and then him winning these head-to-head matchups in such convincing fashion against LeBron, it's been wanting me to put him on that perch with LeBron. I mean, Steph Curry has been the best player in the NBA the last two seasons, in my opinion. But we all know all around LeBron James is still the best player in the league and in the world. But he's been on a tear these last two games, really last three games, but he's been exceptional these last two games, scoring 82 points in the last two games. He followed up the game, what was it, game five performance with 41 in game six. I mean, it was nothing they could do. I mean, he got everybody together, and he led this team to the win. They dominated the Warriors, winning 115 to 101, and they ultimately send these NBA finals back to Oakland for a deciding game seven. I mean, who would have thought it? Who would have thought that Cleveland would be able to do what Golden State did to Oklahoma City? It's amazing. I mean, don't get me wrong. It was some bad calls in the game the other night. But, you know, it's bad calls on both sides. I mean, ultimately, it really didn't matter. Cleveland came out and jumped on them from the get-go. I mean, Tristan Thompson, he was an animal out there. I mean, they bench. Everybody seemed to play with a sense of pride as it pertains to Cleveland. And it seemed like Golden State was sleepwalking. Draymond Green, he wasn't very impactful. It kind of reminds me of after everybody came down on him in that Oklahoma City series when he kicked Steven Adams in the groin area, that next game he didn't perform good. And this is kind of like the same situation. I think Draymond put so much pressure on himself to perform because he really believed, and he said it, that if he would have played and not got suspended in that game 5, they would have beat Cleveland. So you could see when he came out, he was tight, and his game just didn't look right. He had some pretty decent numbers, but it was pedestrian, really. But really, the talk has to be about LeBron James and what he's doing, how he's leading this team. I mean, he's a clear-cut leader of this team, and you can see it. He's very vocal out there. You can see him getting people in their places where they need to be on the floor. And like I said, he's just doing an awesome, awesome job. And you really have to give LeBron his props. Like I said, I apologize to the man for even having an inkling that anybody else is in this league is right there on the top of the perch with him. I mean, as I said before, my top four players, in my opinion, in the NBA right now are LeBron, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and Steph Curry. But LeBron is clearly at the top because every facet of the game, he does at a high level. He can play defense at a high level. He can rebound. He can pass. He can score. And it's like, if he could get his jumper to be consistent, LeBron James would be unguardable. He'd be unstoppable. Because that's really the only flaw in his game, is shooting jump shots, and he's an average free throw shooter. Other than that, everything about the man game is great. Came out and proved it. He came out and proved it the other night on Thursday. And like I said, dads, all fathers out there, we get a good Father's Day gift tomorrow. We get to see a exciting Game 7 that's lining up to be maybe one of the best Game 7s we've seen, because I'm pretty sure Golden State is not going to go out, you know, in blowout fashion on their own court or anything like that. It's going to be a highly competitive game. You know, all the theatrics that happen during Game 6 as far as Steph Curry and LeBron blocking his shot and talking smack to him, and Steph doing something I never seen him do for the first time, cuss at the referees and get angry and throw his mouthpiece and hit a fan. I never seen Steph do that. And then as he was leaving the court, you could see him pointing, speculation that he was pointing at LeBron. So I don't know what that means. Do that mean I'm going to come for you guys, LeBron, in Game 7? Steph Curry still hasn't had that Steph Curry game. And I'm talking about the type of game where the guy's launching threes and running down the court before they even go in. Or he's shooting a three and turning and spinning to the opposing team bench, and then it just go in all net. I haven't seen that Steph game yet. Or he break down somebody off the dribble, do like a double cross, a hesitation, and a step back and hit the three all net. We haven't seen that Steph Curry. And that's because it's been speculated that his knee is hurt, and that as soon as the series is over, he's going to have surgery. And in my opinion, I believe he is going to have surgery because he just doesn't look right as far as his shots. When he shoots his shots, he really doesn't have any lift. So I agree. I think he probably will have surgery. I think there's definitely something wrong with him. And he's probably out there at like 70%. I mean, but if you watch him shoot his jump shots, you can clearly tell he doesn't have the same lift. So I don't think that his legs are right, but I think that he's going to give it all he got. So we're in for a treat. I believe we're in for a treat on Father's Day. If you guys want to call in and talk about this NBA Finals Game 6, and what do you expect for Game 7? Do you expect LeBron to be able to continue his dominance in Game 7? I don't know. I mean, I'm going to tell you what I think. I believe LeBron James is going to continue it. I believe that he's going to go out and he's going to give it all he got. But the key is going to be, is Kyrie Irving going to keep doing what he's doing? I mean, he showed that he could do it. He showed that he can play in Golden State. But who else is going to come along? Is Tristan Thompson going to be able to continue to do all the gritty, dirty work? Is he going to continue to be able to rebound like a monster and get putbacks and get alley-oop dunks? Is J.R. Smith going to be able to continue his surprising playmaking ability that he's been doing? J.R. Smith, the guy who's known just to shoot, even though we know all know he's athletic enough to be able to go to the basket, dunk, all that, he just shoots jump shots. But in the last game, game six, he making nice passes, going, penetrating to the basket, doing nice passes, throwing alley-oops. I mean, J.R. Smith had it going. And that's the thing you clearly see. The first couple of games, it was Golden State bench, you know, running ramshot on Cleveland. Golden State bench was doing everything good. Now, all of a sudden, it's like Golden State bench disappeared. And now, you know, Cleveland clearly has the better bench. And that might be the key. It might not even be about what LeBron and Kyrie do or what Steph and Klay Thompson do. It may be what bench performs the best. That's probably who going to carry their team to the championship. If you guys want to call in and talk about this, 1-516-453-9117. We'll be right back with this with Sports Chat with T. Wash. I'm about to go to a commercial.
Hi, sports fans. Don't you love to see young people engaged in a good book? Then it's a must that you check out my website for my newly released title, A Different Color. You will find a list of other engaging books for youth ages 12 through 18 as well. My books are only $10, and they are guaranteed. So if that special young person in your life is not engaged, you will get your money back. So quit stalling and check me out at www.yireadpublishing.com. That's www.yireadpublishing.com. I'm KC Taylor, and together we make a difference in the lives of our youth.
Back to Sports Chat with your boy T. Wash. Let's get back into these NBA Finals. Game 6, where I left off with my monologue, I was basically talking about LeBron and his performance, what he's going to do in Game 7 and what he did in Game 6. Like I said, I believe in Game 7 the man's going to come to play. His legacy is kind of on the line. I mean, I don't want to say completely, but I look at it as if you make it to the finals 7 times and win twice, that's not a good mark. But if he could win, you know, that'd be 3-3. You know, he'll be halfway there. That'd be even. So I think that, and then, you know, just look at the ramifications of it. You come back from 3-1 in the NBA Finals series. I mean, how good can that be? How much better can it be than that? So, I think LeBron's going to give his all. And like I said, Kyrie Irving has been consistent too. I'm expecting him to have another big game. It's all going to depend on the benches. What is the bench going to do in this last game, in this game 7? Which bench is going to rise to the top and basically catapult their team to the championship? And I just truly believe whichever bench performs best, that team is going to be hoisting that Larry O'Brien trophy. And it's funny because benches tend to play better when they're at home. So you kind of want to get an edge to go to state. I mean, Sean Livingston, he hasn't done much since the first 2 games. Maurice Spates usually comes in and hits a couple threes for him. He hasn't done anything. The only bright spot on the bench has been Leandro Barbosa. So I would expect him to be able to produce. He's been shooting at a high clip, since the final series began when he's gotten the time. And that's the thing. He hasn't gotten much time, which I don't understand. So if you want to call and talk about this, 1-516-453-9117. Call in. Let's talk about these finals. Let's talk about game 6. And the stats for the Cleveland Cavaliers in Thursday game, LeBron James finished with 41, 11 assists, and 8 rebounds. He almost had a triple-double. That tells you he was engaged from the start of the game to the finish. He made plays happen. And see, when he has a stat clip like this, this just tells me right here that he's unguardable. There's nothing you can do. This tells me that he has his jump shot going. He's driving to the basket. Everything, his whole offensive game is just flowing. This is when he's a combination of Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan. When he scores at this high clip and then he passes and rebounds and does every other facet of the game, play good defense. This is when LeBron is unbeatable, when he's at his best. And like I was saying, the down and dirty man, Tristan Thompson, he had 15 points and 16 rebounds, 16 big rebounds. He's like a man amongst boys in the paint against Golden State. Golden State really doesn't have any size. I mean, the loss of Andrew Bogut, that hurts them in that facet. They don't have any big men or anybody to, body Tristan Thompson. So Tristan Thompson has been like a man amongst boys, catching all these alley-oop passes and just grabbing boards at will. And Kyrie Irving, he finished with 23 points, 4 rebounds. Those are pretty pedestrian numbers compared to the way Kyrie's been playing, but they're still good enough. Like I said, 23 points, that's a contribution. He didn't have too many assists, but, once again, Kyrie Irving is not truly a point guard. He's a 2-guard in a point guard's body playing the point guard position for the Cleveland Cavaliers. But that was his contribution. And this is one of the big contributions. And this guy's been sporadic throughout the whole final series. J.R. Smith, he had 14 points. And like I said, he made plays. He had a couple of nice passes. In particular, that alley-oop he did to LeBron on the fast break, on the 2-on-1. It was nasty. He threw a nice pass, and LeBron just came and just caught it. And, can I say gorilla dunked it? The old Charles Barkley dunk. But J.R. Smith finished with 14 points, and he is 4-10 for 3, for 3-point range, his specialty. I mean, that's almost an average percentage, but they need J.R. Smith to do that. They need him. They need to get some kind of scoring punch from that 2-guard position. And like I said, J.R. Smith, he's been, sporadic. Some nights you may get it, some nights you don't. And if his jump shot's not going, if he can't hit them first couple of jump shots, then J.R. Smith's going to be worthless out there on the floor. He's not going to do anything. He's just going to be out there. Now, they bench, Richard Jefferson. He really didn't score much last, on Thursday like he did the other games. But still, he comes in and he gives them energy. He had 3 points. He has 6 rebounds. He plays good physical defense. He gets in the face of the opposing player. So he gets down there and bangs for rebounds. He dives for all the loose balls. You need that on your team. You need those blue-collar players on your team. I mean, you best believe those blue-collar guys, they make a big contribution to your team winning a championship. Now, the disappearing man, Kevin Love, he has 7 points and 3 rebounds. And that's just not good for a guy that's making between $115 and $118 million. That's the contract he signed with Cleveland this past season. That's not good enough. He has to give you more. But as I said before, expect Kevin Love to be traded during the offseason. I mean, like I said, the writing's on the wall. He's not even in the game during crucial moments. So the writing's on the wall with him. And this is real funny about it. Dante Jones, the guy that's been on about 8 different NBA teams, he came in and gave him a spark. He had a quick 5 points. And you know Dante Jones, he's always been a tough physical player. He'll foul you hard. And he made a 3-point play when he came in. As soon as he came in the game, he made a 3-point play. It's all pumped up, got the crowd jacked up, got his teammates jacked up. So I just had to break his name up because the way he played just exemplifies how the Cleveland bench is performing right now. They all believe. I mean, they all believe. They've won 3 straight games. They all believe. They all believe that they could do this. They could beat Golden State. And that's why I believe tomorrow night, all fathers out there, we're going to get a good Father's Day present. We're going to have an exciting Game 7. And I just believe it. And like I said, I'm more going with Golden State just because of the simple fact that, in my opinion, Cleveland has to prove it to me that they could go on the opposing team court and win a Game 7. I mean, because it just doesn't happen. Not on the opposing team's court. It just doesn't happen. So Cleveland really has to prove it to me. I have to see them do it. I can't just sit here and say, yeah, Cleveland's going to win, even though they've won 3 straight. And the last 2 convincingly, I just can't go against Golden State because they're going to be on their home court. Now, as far as the Warriors, I mean, the pressure has clearly shifted to them and their MVP, Steph Curry. Guys, if you want to talk about this or anything else, 1-516-453-9117. The lines are open for you to chime in and get on this topic. But, yeah, I would say that the pressure has clearly shifted to the Golden State Warriors and unanimous MVP Steph Curry. The pressure's on them now because they went 73-9. You have to close the deal with a championship. You broke the 96 Chicago Bulls record. 72-10. You went 72-9. You have to close the deal. You have to win this NBA championship, or I'm sorry to say, it's going to all be for naught. This season's going to be forgotten if they don't win this championship. And Cleveland's going to be celebrated because they would have won, 3 straight to win the championship. And the thing that's crazy is, under Steve Kerr, Golden State has never lost 3 straight games. Never. So that'll be another scratch on Golden State. To not win the championship after going 73-9, and then you lose 3 straight games in the NBA Finals and allow Cleveland to win the championship. That definitely scratches out this past season for the Golden State Warriors. And if I was Golden State Warriors players, I'd be thinking right now, that'll really be messed up to go 73-9 and not win the championship and lose 3 straight games in the finals when we had it in the bag. So the pressure is clearly going to be on the Golden State Warriors tomorrow. In my opinion, Cleveland should be able to go in and play freely. I mean, they have no worry. They just playing. Just go out there and play. And I think a lot is going to be able to be judged on the first quarter. Let's see who comes out the tightest as far as teams. Who comes out and doesn't play loose and turns the ball over and takes bad shots. And whoever does that from the jump is the team that you'll be able to tell is nervous about the situation they're in. So it's going to be curious. It's going to be good to see if Golden State can see how they come out. It's going to be fun to see how they come out. See if they come out tight or see if they come out loosey-goosey. If they come out loosey-goosey and play Golden State basketball, you know, which is centered around a bunch of good ball movement and open shots and players making those open shots, then, like I said, we're going to have a good game because I think, regardless of the situation, I think Cleveland's going to come out in attack mode, especially LeBron and Kyrie. And then they bench. Let's see if they bench come in, energized. And a return to Draymond Green and the performance of Harrison Barnes, that's been the issue for Golden State. Draymond Green's return, like I said, it wasn't special. It was pedestrian. And like I said, he played tight. I believe he played like he wanted to do too much to try to make up for not being there for game five. Because like I said, he said in an interview, if I would have been here for game five, we would have won the series. So I believe he came out in game six tight, came out extra tight. And he wasn't his energetic self either. He couldn't play with the energy he normally plays with. I think he was worried about getting a technical or getting kicked out the game and getting suspended for game seven. So the one good thing about the way he played in game six, expect him to go balls to the wall and all out in game seven tomorrow night. Hell, I mean, if he does anything wrong tomorrow night, what? He'll get suspended for what? Game one of the regular season in October? That doesn't matter. So the way he acts tomorrow doesn't matter. Draymond could be his normal self tomorrow, which is going to be a good thing for the Golden State Warriors. They need him to be his normal self. They need him to show some energy. They need him to play with that chip on his shoulder of being a second-round draft pick the way he's always played. They need him to be a pit bull tomorrow. Hell, if he needs to throw a hard foul at LeBron James tomorrow, he needs to do it. He needs to do it. You know, even though LeBron James is a freight train, but he needs to get physical with LeBron. Like I said, he was passive in game six because he didn't want to get in trouble for game seven. But it's nothing to lose tomorrow night. He could be as physical as he want. He could talk as much trash as he want. I mean, the worst they could do is suspend him for the first game of next season. So I'm expecting Draymond to play a big role tomorrow, especially if Golden State win. I'm expecting him to have a big game because he could be his old self. Now, let's get on Harrison Barnes. Oh, and once again, if you guys want to call and talk about these finals or anything else, the number is 1-516-453-9117. Let's get to Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes has been horrible. The last two games, the man has went 2 of 22 from the field. And the thing that's messed up about it is that this is a contract year for Mr. Harrison Barnes, which means he's supposed to be balling out. You know, even if Golden State decides not to re-sign him, he needs to be putting on a show for other NBA teams. You know, I'll take something I heard from Stephen A. The way Harrison Barnes has been playing, he might have cost himself about $8 million a year off of the contract he probably would have got. Because he's just been horrible. They've been leaving him wide open, daring him to shoot. And it's crazy because his first two games in Oakland, he played good. Even one of the games in Cleveland, I think game three, if I'm not mistaken, he played good. But these last couple games, I don't know what happened to Harrison Barnes. He just disappeared. Like I say, he's missing wide open shots. He's even missing layups. You know, and that's not good. It's not good at all. So they're going to need a performance out of Harrison Barnes tomorrow. They need him to step up big time. I mean, they're going to need some kind of spark, you know, whether it's Draymond, whether it's Harrison. Klay Thompson needs to snap out of it and stop being erratic. He needs to get his three-shot going. If Klay Thompson could duplicate what he did that last game in Oakland, when he hit six threes in the loss, game five when Draymond was suspended. if Klay Thompson could duplicate that tomorrow and hit six threes again, that might make it a little tough for Cleveland because, like I said, I'm expecting Steph to play. He still may not be the 100% Steph Curry we're used to seeing, but I think he'll make more shots tomorrow. I think he's going to be more aggressive, at least as aggressive as he can, he'll be tomorrow. So Harrison Barnes needs to help out because, like I said, he's been very disappointing. He hasn't given the Warriors anything these last couple of games. I mean, like I said, 2 of 22, and you in your contract year expecting big money. He needs to play better than that. 1-516-453-9117. You want to call in and chime in about these NBA finals. Tell me what you think. Do you think LeBron's going to go to Golden State and dominate tomorrow night? Do you think Steph Curry is going to, you know, have some semblance of his normal self? Do you think Draymond Green going to be back to normal? Because that game six, he wasn't normal. He was reserved. He was not the normal Draymond we're used to seeing. And like I said, game seven, it's balls to the wall, man. You got to go all out. What's going on? This sports chat with your boy T. Wash. Who's calling?
Hi, T. Wash. This is KC.
Hey, KC, how you doing? What you got?
I'm doing pretty good. Just listening to you talk about the finals. I mean, this game seven is coming up, very exciting and all this and that. And I was wondering, what are your thoughts on the following? It seems to me as if the NBA is truly, truly, really, really hyping this up more than, I don't know, more than what it actually is. So do you think the NBA, do you think the hoopla or the hype is specifically what the NBA is bringing in, or do you think this is really truly going to be one of the greatest game sevens of all time?
That's kind of hard to say. I don't know if it's going to truly be the greatest of all time, but I do believe it's going to be a great one. And the reason I believe it's going to be a great one is because, I mean, you have all the, like you said, you have all the energy. Everybody is pumping it up. But you're going to have some players that's going to be able to play the way they normally play. You know, like I was saying with Draymond Green. The way Draymond Green played the other day, you could clearly see that wasn't him. You know, he was worried about maybe getting the technical and getting kicked out for game seven. He wasn't even talking smack or, you know, he wasn't even energized with his teammates. And he's like the heart and spirit of that team. He's going to be able to be his normal self tomorrow. Because what's the worst they could do to him if he be physical with LeBron or if he, you know, curse at him or talk smack to him, get in his head? The worst they could do is suspend him for game one of next season. So I'm expecting Draymond Green to play balls to the wall tomorrow. And then I'm expected to Golden State bench to show up again the way they did the first two games in Golden State because they didn't show up. It's been Cleveland bench that's been playing with all the energy these last three games. So I'm expected to Golden State, you know, because for the most part, teams play better when they're at home, even the benches. So I'm expecting the bench to be able to do something on for tomorrow night's game. And I think it's going to be exciting because the way LeBron James is playing, he's in the groove. I'm expecting LeBron to go all out tomorrow. I'm expecting him to play good. And Kyrie's been consistent. So I'm expecting those two guys to do what they've been doing. But also, right. I'm expecting Steph Curry to come out and ball. Like I said, we may not get the old Steph Curry, the 100% Steph Curry, because you could clearly see something's wrong with his knee. His shot, he doesn't have the right type of lift in his shot the way he had at first. So, but I'm still expecting him to do something. I mean, we may not see those Steph Curry threes where he's shooting and turning around and running down the court and then we see the ball splash in, or he shoot the three and turn to the opposing team's bench and then it just goes straight through, or he does like I said, a double crossover and a couple of hesitations and a step back and a three and hit. We may not see that Steph, the exciting three-pointers, but he's still been okay. He's been up and down. And I believe he still do one big game. And, right. I mean, what better game to bring it than game seven where all the marbles on the line, where that Larry O'Brien trophy's on the line. So I think they are overhyping it. But we just have to sit down and watch it before we can say it's one of the best game sevens of all time, because there's been some pretty good games out there in the NBA history. But that's kind of the reason why I expect it to be a good game tomorrow. Just those points.
It seemed like the NBA back in the day, like in the 80s and 90s, I'm sure you would probably agree with this, T. Wash, that it was just a greater atmosphere. And it seemed like when you watch the men out on the court playing, that they were playing for real. They were playing, you know, with their heart. And now with so many, like, factors that come into play with contracts and everything, it just seemed a little manipulated nowadays, the game. It's like the NBA control it, you know, and have the outcome that they want to have. I don't mean to get conspiracy theories, but it's kind of, I don't know, it's almost like it's a written script.
You know what, you might have a point. I kind of talked about that in my last show where I was talking about my favorite NBA era, and I brought up how my favorite NBA era was, you know, the late 80s, early 90s. And I brought up that same point about how it was more for the love of the game back then. A lot of those guys played back then. They didn't just jump to a team with all stars. They were the one star was usually the one star, and the organizations built around them. It wasn't about jumping to teams with stars, you know. And then back then you had a lot of teams that actually didn't like each other. So that made for good basketball. It was more physical back then. You could hand check people back then. You know, imagine the rules of today's NBA back then. Those guys would have had a field day.
Right.
You know, imagine those rules from back then and today.
So do you think the NBA is sort of scripting this?
I don't want to say that. I don't want to believe that. I don't want to believe it. I don't want to believe it. So I'm not going to say it is. I mean, sometimes it be fishy events that happen. You know, you had the one cheating scandal with the ref that end up getting arrested and doing some prison time. But I'm not going to say it.
Draymond Green was thrown out of the game that I don't think he should have been thrown out of. But when he did, I think he hit somebody in the privates or something. That clearly warranted a suspension right there, but he didn't get the suspension then, but he got it at a different game. So I don't know. It's just a little iffy.
Yeah, I agree with that. Draymond definitely should have been suspended in the series against Oklahoma City, but he shouldn't have got suspended for the game, for game five, for what happened with LeBron James. LeBron James had the option of walking to the left or the right, but he stepped over Draymond. So I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know,
I agree that he shouldn't have been suspended for that.
Okay.
But, yeah. All right. All right. Thanks, T-Wash. I love the show. And, wish callers to call in. Call in, guys.
All right. Thank you, Casey.
Okay. Bye.
All right, that was KC. He made some valid points. Now, I want to get back to talking about these Warriors. Guys, if you want to call in and talk about this, 1-516-453-9117. Draymond Green, you know, one of the key guys I'm talking about. He had 8 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, a pedestrian performance, you know. That was the performance of a Draymond Green that doesn't have any energy. You know, that was playing, you know, I mean, shall I say timid. He didn't have any energy. He wasn't his normal hyper self out there. He wasn't getting his teammates going. It don't look like he was getting his teammates in defensive positions like he normally do. He wasn't saying anything to LeBron. He wasn't playing physical. And he'll be able to do that in game seven. I think he's going to have a big game. I think he's going to be able to go balls to the wall. What's going on in this sports chat with your boy T-Wash? Who's calling?
This is Q.
What's going on, Q?
I was just trying to chime in on the finals. I think that Steph Curry is being wore down by LeBron and Kyrie, because I think the last two games they've been doing a lot of switching on the perimeter, and a lot of times he's getting stuck after they do the picks, I guess the pick and roll.
They're constantly chipping him.
He ends up guarding LeBron James, and once that happens, he's pretty much fair game if he has to guard LeBron. And when it comes to Kyrie Irving, if he's hot, nobody can stay in front of him, even if he isn't going to the basket. So I think that what's wrong with Steph and his shot, because if he doesn't have any energy to shoot, you know, from guarding, you know, those two players or anything else, he's pretty much ineffective. Also, I think that the Cleveland Cavaliers, with the momentum that they have now, I think they're locked to win on Sunday. That's all I wanted to say. But a great show, by the way.
All right. Thank you, Q. All right, that was Q. He has the Cavs as a lock. I can't have him as a lock because I'm just too stubborn. I mean, they're on the roll right now. They are on the roll. And he had a great point about what they're doing and stuff. They are chipping him. But I just still think it's something wrong with his knee because, I mean, even in the earlier rounds, he's like whenever he falls on the ground, he grabs his knee. And then, you know, like I said, I just had to borrow it from Stephen A. And he's usually pretty good with his sources. He's saying that he's going to immediately get surgery after this, you know, after these finals are over. So I guess we'll find out once these finals are over and we hear about Steph Curry getting surgery, then we really know it was something wrong with his knee. I mean, but he is, Quint Q made a good point. He is getting chipped. He's getting chipped by everybody, not just the pick and roll situation with LeBron and Kyrie, but everyone is chipping him. And that's kind of what Steve Kerr and some of the other fans been complaining about. He's getting beat up. He's getting grabbed and everything, you know. But I figure, hey, if you can get away with it, do it. Because this man can literally shoot you out of the gym and beat you, especially if you get in the groove. And we've seen Steph Curry make 40-foot jumpers, 40-foot threes, like easy. So Cleveland's doing a smart thing. Hey, if the ref's not calling it, keep chipping him. Keep grabbing him. Keep pulling at his jersey. That's a smart thing to do. But I, like I said, I just can't pick against Golden State in a game 7 on their home court in Oakland with my man 40 Water sitting there on the sidelines. I can't see Golden State losing game 7. But, I mean, who knows? Like I said, if Golden State loses game 7, it has to be one of the greatest comebacks ever. You know, as far as the Cleveland Cavaliers, and nobody will ever be able to say anything to LeBron James. If he lead Cleveland to their first title since 1964 in this fashion, winning 3 straight games and celebrating on the team that celebrated on your home court last year, you celebrating on their court with a championship. I mean, that's poetic justice, man. Let me get back to these Warriors stats, man. Like I said, I talked about Draymond Green. He had the 8 points, the 10 boards, and 6 assists. Pedestrian. You know, it's almost triple-double, but it was pedestrian. Iguodala, you know, I felt bad for Iguodala. He had 5 points, and he tweaked his back. And he still was out there playing. Now, to me, he's the question mark. If he's not effective tomorrow night, Golden State probably will lose this game. They have to have at least a 70% Iguodala. And the way he was looking and struggling out there and trying to guard LeBron James with a bad back, that's not going to work, man. So he had 5 points, and I can't knock him. He was still out there gutting it out with a bad back, you know. But once again, I got to get to Harrison Barnes. You know, Harrison Barnes finished with 0 points on 0 of 8 shooting. And like I said, this man, he's in the contract year. He's trying to get the big bucks, whether it's from Golden State or whether it's from another NBA team. He lost some money this series. I mean, he's even been missing layups. Layups. He's like 6'8". He's been missing layups. So he needs to redeem himself. And if I was Steve Kerr, I would seriously consider benching him and starting a three-guard lineup. I mean, he's going to be small. It's going to definitely be small ball. But why not bring in Leandro Barbosa from the bench to the starting lineup and just going with a three-guard lineup? Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Leandro Barbosa, Draymond Green, and if Iguodala could go, Iguodala, just play Draymond at the center. I mean, even though that's a mismatch with Tristan Thompson, you kind of in do or die mode where you need to see what's clicking and what's going to work for you. And Leandro Barbosa has been the spark plug for the Warriors off the bench this whole finals, and he hasn't been getting a lot of minutes. Barbosa finished game 6 with 14 points, and he shot great in that game. He went 2 of 3 from 3. He goes to the basket, and he's still quick. And like I said, if I was Steve Kerr, I would seriously consider putting Barbosa in the lineup. He's giving you more than Harrison Barnes. I would have to make Harrison Barnes come off the bench, and when he would come off the bench, I would have to see if he's going to give me something. He's going to give me some buckets off the bench. But until then, I'm putting Barbosa in that lineup. I mean, hey, man, it's do or die. This game 7. This is it. There's no tomorrow. If I was Steve Kerr, I would make that move. Like I said, they're going to be undersized. But what else do you have to lose? Maybe you'll be able to run Cleveland away. You know, run them out the gym maybe. Like I said, Barbosa's still quick. He can still fly down the court. I mean, hey, he was known as the Brazilian Blur. He's still fast. Why not bring in Barbosa? Start him. Take Harrison Barnes out because he's been horrible. Guys, 1-516-453-9117. Chime in about these finals. I already had 2 callers. Need some more callers to chime in. Steph Curry, he finished with 30 points on 6 of 13 for three-pointers, but he only had 1 assist. Now, you the team's point guard, you got to have more than 1 assist. That's not good because that's showing that you're not getting your teammates involved. But he played okay. And he did something that he did something that I never seen before. Out of a game, he cursed out the referee, threw his mouthpiece. You never seen calm, cool, and collected choir boy Steph Curry in that mode. But I can't say that I really blame him. They called 3 bogus calls on him. And to me, some of those calls, I mean, he ripped Kyrie Irving clean, picked his pocket, and they called a foul. He's on his way back down the court to score the bucket. And that last foul on LeBron James, I mean, that was just horrible. And we all know, I mean, LeBron James is great, but we all know LeBron James is one of the biggest floppers in the NBA. And that was a flop. And it just messed up that, I mean, the game was already said and done, but you didn't have to give the man a 6th foul on a foul like that. To me, that's a play on. I don't even think that was a foul. So 3 of those 6 fouls on Steph Curry were bad calls, in my opinion. And like I said, I'm hoping that that type of stuff motivates him to get going tomorrow. Like I said, when he was leaving the court, you could see him pointing at somebody. And word is, he's pointing at LeBron when he's leaving the court. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a fun game tomorrow. I just believe it is going to be. I mean, LeBron James blocked his shot in that game and was talking smack to Steph. And, you know, that's the first time you've seen LeBron, like, really talk to him. And that's just showing a sign of swag. LeBron has that swag right now. He believes. And he has his teammates believing. So, guys, I'm going to take a break. The number is 1-516-453-9117. You want to chime in on these finals? I'll be right back with you.
If you have a strong passion for sports and a love of talking about sports, then hit up Sports Chat with T. Wash at 1-516-453-9117. Here we'll discuss the NBA, we'll discuss MLB, we'll discuss NCAA, we'll discuss NFL, We'll discuss MMA, and yes, we'll discuss even a little hockey. So, if you love to talk about sports, and you want to have some good conversation, once again, hit up Sports Chat with T. Wash. And that number is 1-516-453-9117. Looking forward to hearing from you.
Chat with your boy T. Wash. Klay Thompson finished the game with 25 points, but the thing with him, he was only 3 of 10 from the 3-point line, and he shot some horrible shots, some ill-advised shots, especially at the beginning. You could tell Klay Thompson was pressing. Now, I'm expecting him to have a better performance in tomorrow night's game. Like I said, if he could duplicate what he did in game 5, then Golden State going to be in good shape, because he was on fire in that game. But for whatever reason, Steve Kerr went away from him. He didn't pass him the ball. He didn't set him up for plays in the fourth quarter. Through three quarters, he had 34 points. That last quarter, he only scored 3. And I didn't understand that. I didn't understand why he didn't set up any plays for Klay Thompson, didn't keep feeding the hot hand. And also, you know, I've been talking about Leandro Barbosa and what he's been doing. He didn't get a lot of minutes in that game. So Steve Kerr has to make some serious adjustments. Like I said, I would start Leandro Barbosa in tomorrow night's game 7, and I'll have Harrison Barnes come off the bench. As I said, they'll be undersized, but what the hell? It's game 7. You have nothing to lose. There's no tomorrow. Go for it. See what you can get. That might be the lineup that's effective against Cleveland. Okay, guys, I'm going to do a quick MLB rundown. The National League, the Chicago Cubs beat the Pittsburgh Pirates 6-0. And these are yesterday's games. The Diamondbacks, Arizona Diamondbacks beat the Philadelphia Phillies 10-2. The Colorado Rockies, they beat the Florida Marlins 5-1. My Atlanta Braves, and this is rare that I can say this, they beat the New York Mets 5-1. The Milwaukee Brewers go down to the Los Angeles Dodgers 3-2. And the Washington Nationals beat the San Diego Padres 7-5. The American League scores go as follows. The Toronto Blue Jays smack the Baltimore Orioles 13-3. The Seattle Mariners beat the Boston Red Sox 8-4. My favorite American League team, the Chicago White Sox, they go down to the Cleveland Indians 3-2. The New York Yankees, the team that everybody seems to hate, they beat the Minnesota Twins 8-2. The Kansas City Royals, the fun team from last year that won the World Series, beat the Tigers, Detroit Tigers, 10-3. And the Oakland Athletics beat the LA Angels 3-2. So that's the quick MLB rundown for you. Now I'm going to get into some UFC, some MMA. I haven't talked MMA yet. July 9th, this is going to be this is probably going to be one of the best UFC fight cards I've ever seen. And I'm going to make sure I watch that old Fire Stick so I can watch these fights, check them out. But the main event in the UFC 200 on July 9th, in the 205-pound weight class, you have UFC light heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier facing off against former lightweight champ, one of the greatest to me, John Jones, for the second time. You know, John Jones lost his belt when he, I don't know, he just have lose his mind there for a minute. You know, drugs and drunk driving, and he just lost. He, Dana White had to strip him of his title. Daniel Cormier ended up getting it. So now John Jones trying to get it back. And I'm picking John Jones to win by knockout in the second round by punches. John Jones has skills, man. John Jones is one of the best MMA fighters I've seen. Other than the old Anderson Spider Silva, John Jones is one of the best. The co-main event features the return of former WWE star Brock Lesnar to the UFC. He faces off against UFC veteran Mark Hunt. To me, Brock Lesnar, he didn't show me much. I don't think he was much of a MMA fighter. I think he should have just stayed with the WWE. You know, and just for that reason, because I didn't really see much out of him when he was fighting. Like, I didn't see no skills. I didn't see no, I mean, he could wrestle, but I didn't see no escapability type skills or, you know, being able to submit people. And I didn't see that from Lesnar. So because of that, I'm going with Mark Hunt in an upset by decision. You know, unless Lesnar changed his fighting style, all I see is him trying to bull rush Mark Hunt. And that's what he's known for in the UFC. He'll rush you. He'll bull rush you and get you on the ground. You know, to me, that only works if the opponent is scared. And let's see if the Mark Hunt guy be scared of him. The Mark guy Hunt is not scared of him. I'm going to pick Mark Hunt to upset him by decision. It'll be a decision. He'll win by decision. The undercard has intriguing matchups, such as Jose Aldo versus Frankie Edgar. That's going to be a good fight, man. You know, which promises to be a fast-paced, exciting fight. Both guys are athletic. Both guys like to punch. Both guys like to kick. They're both some little guys. And those little guys, when they scrap, is usually exciting. But I'm going to pick Jose Aldo because he needs to reestablish himself as a top fighter, especially after he got knocked out by Conor McGregor. And I think it's like 12 seconds. I mean, the fight had like literally just started. He went into a swing, and Conor McGregor happened to be throwing that left and just caught him flush on the chin, knocked him out. And ever since then, Jose Aldo's been missing. Of course, Conor McGregor would go on to talk trash, you know, like he normally does, which I have no problem with. I like that. But then he got beat up by Nate Diaz. You know? The women's bantamweight championship is also on the line as champion Misha Cupcake Tate takes on a woman named Amanda Nunes. I never heard of her. I don't know if she's good or not. I mainly know about, you know, Misha Tate, Cyborg, the Holly Road chick, and of course the big star. And it's crazy because it's I'm tongue-tied right now. I can't remember her name. But Holly Rowe knocked her out. And she probably won't be back to the end of the year. That's messed up. I really am tongue-tied. I forgot her name. But I really don't know much about the women fighters. But I'm going with Cupcake to win and defend her second title. I mean, defend her title by submitting this Nunes girl. Other notable fighters participating in UFC 200 are Cain Velasquez, and we know his history. He used to be the heavyweight champion. Jimi Hendricks, he's a good heavyweight. Diego Sanchez, who's a good fighter. TJ Dillashaw, who's one of the good up-and-coming fighters. And another one of the top lady fighters, Kat Zagano, she's pretty good. She's fighting. Like I said, UFC 200 has one of the best fight cards I've ever seen, and I'm looking forward to watching it July 9th. On that old fire stick. So that's kind of like what I wanted to talk about. I just wanted to break down these NBA finals, talk about the UFC right quick. And I just believe that I'm going to go with LeBron. I'm going to go with LeBron to have a good game, Kyrie to have a good game, but I can't pick against Golden State. The lines are still open, 1-516-453-7262. 9117. If you want to chime in about these finals, about the UFC, about Major League Baseball, about football, anything, the lines are open for you.
Dame Dollar. Wait is over. Look. My first encounter with adversity was somewhat an emergency. I fell off the path and my mental it needed surgery. The more I stumbled off, the more my actions started irking me. I got it together and the top looked like my turf to be. They think money rules, I'm rich and I'm done with school. My problems still exist, so don't listen to none of fools. For currency, they running their lives in the paid in full. I took a task and made it cash in my path and became cool. My life came full circle as the park was throwing left hooks. Now I'm in the league with Steph Curry and Russell Westbrook. Took a couple bumps, boy, you never received. My chest shook, my heart came from a lion. This path, only the best took. I wanna check the critics, cause all the things they nitpick, they always seem to skip where he started this ascension, like reciprocity. But that ain't what they give him. I did it from the jump, but you stumble, they pay attention. Aware of my surroundings at all times, a wall fly. I spot a coward a mile off. No small mind, put that pressure.
All right. Welcome back to Sports Chat with your boy T. Wash. That's my boy Dame Dollar. I got to give him a shout out like every show because I love his music. Portland Trailblazer guard, point guard. But I just want to reiterate on my thoughts for the NBA Finals. For, as KC said, the overhyped game tomorrow. It is being hyped, but I just believe it is going to be one of the good ones because it's a lot of ramifications involved. Like I said, Golden State don't want to go out like this. Golden State, they broke the 96 Bulls record. They finished the season 73-9. 96 Bulls, 72-10. 96 Bulls closed it out. They closed it out. And they beat Utah Jazz to win the championship. They closed it out. They beat the Seattle Sonics to win the title. And they close it out. Golden State has to do the same. If they lose to Cleveland, this season is for nothing. That means they did all that hard work trying to break that record for naught. And then on the other note, LeBron and the Cavs, the way they've been playing is like they can smell it. They can smell it. They can smell that championship. They can see themselves hoisting that Larry O'Brien trophy. The Cleveland fans, I'm pretty sure the Cleveland fans, they can smell it. And you know they can taste it real bad with all the hard luck they had. I mean, the Ernest Byner situation, John Elway killing them 2 years in a row when they had Super Bowl aspirations. The Cleveland Indians losing to the Florida Marlins. That was the best team Cleveland Indians ever had. A great team. Kenny Lofton, Albert Bell, Jim Tomei, Manny Ramirez, Omar Vizquel at shortstop. Cleveland Indians had a bomb. But Jose Mesa blew it. So this is Cleveland, or shall I say Believeland's chance to win a title. And it's right there. And that's what's going to make for a great game tomorrow. Golden State don't want their legacy to be messed up by winning the regular season, by being the champions of the regular season, going 73-9. And not closing the deal and winning this NBA title. LeBron James and the fellas, they motivated because they are this close to winning a championship for Cleveland for the first time since 1964. Last time they won, that city celebrated a championship is when the great Hall of Fame running back Jim Brown was there. That's the last time he won a championship. So you know these Cleveland fans are hungry. It's like they've been teased. They've been teased by the gods, and now they have a chance to finally get it. and all their hopes and dreams are with LeBron and the rest of those Cleveland Cavalier players tomorrow. And I believe this is the reason why it's going to be a good series, I mean, a good final game, I'm sorry, because both teams are playing for something big. They both are playing for something big. They both want this championship. So we're going to see a good game. But as I said, Cleveland has to prove it to me, because until I see it done, I am not going to pick against the home team in the game seven. Cleveland has to show me tomorrow night that they can get it done on the opposing team's court in the game seven. I want to thank all you guys for listening to my show. I want to say happy Father's Day to all the good dads out there. And I'm saying good dads that's taking care of their babies, taking care of their families, being a good dad to their kids. Not these half dads who don't believe in taking care of their kids. And, you know, their kids, the kid may be in a broken home, may be with just the mom. You know, and these dads are being deadbeats and not taking care of their babies, not sending the mom child support, not being a part of, or you got some dads that's just paying child support and not spending the time with their children, not seeing their kids. Those are half dads. Those are fake dads. Those aren't the real dads. Those dads shouldn't celebrate Father's Day. You know, in my situation, my mom has always been my dad. And that's why I say happy Father's Day, Mom. You know, I have to, you know, every year I wish my mother a happy Father's Day because she raised me herself. My dad left when I was six. So my mom is the one who taught me about the birds and the bees. My mom is the one who taught me how to do man things. I mean, even though she was a woman, she taught me. I mean, I could say now my dad and I, we get along now, but it took me becoming a grown man for us to develop a relationship. So I actually can call him and tell him happy Father's Day now. But for years and years, it was my mother. I was calling my mother and telling her happy Father's Day. And that's why I just had to give her a shout out on this show and wish her a happy Father's Day tomorrow. And the rest of you guys, happy Father's Day. Continue to be great dads. Continue to do the things you do to be in your child's life. Sports is basically the fabric of our society, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, soccer, and hockey. We all, as humans, have a strong passion for the games and what they represent. Now ask yourself, could you imagine life without them? Thank you, everyone, and see you next time on Sports Chat with your boy T. Wash.